Ecclesiastes chapter 3. This verses 2 through 8. Solomon has experimented with life in various ways, and now he opens chapter 3 with a broad statement concerning life in general. Everything and every purpose are the subjects at hand, and Solomon has examined them and decided that there is a season and timing for it all. A close look at these verses reveal that all 8 of them are one sentence. Also, there are 14 contrasting statements involving 28 individual thoughts about life. He begins where we all begin, a time for birth, time to every purpose under the heaven. And I put that on the website where Brother Leo Gertz came to me. And he said, Brother John, he said, that book that you're teaching through, he said that he found out that Missy, before she passed away, memorized the whole chapter of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and said that she was telling Brother Leo about it and how those scriptures, those verses were ministering to her. And he said, Missy, no, you've not memorized it. You don't mean the entire chapter. You mean the first few verses. She said, no, Dad, I memorized the entire chapter of Ecclesiastes 3. Some great truths that we're going to discover tonight as we go through it. We'll only cover the first 15 verses, so let's look at it together. We'll read it, and then we'll have prayer and look at our study sheets together. Solomon writes it like this. He said, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to cast away, a time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I've seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their hearts so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all of his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. That which hath been is now, that which is to be hath already been, and God requireth that which is past. The first 15 verses of that chapter are just loaded with some things that we're going to look at tonight. And for those of you maybe that's not been in our studies on Wednesday night, going through the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon is experimenting with life. He tries everything that life has to offer, but from a educational, a wisdom standpoint, he'll delve into an area of life and he'll just saturate himself in it. He'll just get lost in whatever it is. And then he'll make notes about it and reference it and analyze it. Then he'll write about it in the book of Ecclesiastes. In chapter 2, he said that he gave himself over to alcohol. We know alcohol, drinking alcohol, is sin. We know that. But Solomon did it in respect of learning from it and analyzing it and writing about it in wisdom. And God allowed it. That's the amazing thing about the book of Ecclesiastes, all that God allowed Solomon to tamper with and experiment with. And here in chapter 3, Solomon is almost as if Solomon just kind of steps back from all of the things that he's already encountered in experimental living, and he writes some things about seasons and times of life. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll look at our study sheet together. Our Heavenly Father, tonight, Lord, as we gather, Lord, before your throne, we're so thankful, Lord, that we're able to call upon your name. I thank you, Lord, for this blessed Bible that you've given us, Lord, to learn from, and Lord, which is truth and has never led us astray, never lied to us, and we're thankful for it. Now, Father, you please add your favor to us tonight as we study together. Lord, I thank you for these that have come tonight, Lord, to learn something from you. So, Lord, I'm asking, Lord, that you'd open up every heart that's here. And, God, that we would leave this place tonight, Lord, drawn closer to you than we've ever been before. Lord, we sure do appreciate, Lord, all the allowances of God in our lives. And, Lord, you please touch all of us, be with all of us, Lord, now. And we're thankful for this opportunity together in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. All right, let's look at our study sheets together. Solomon was known for three outstanding attributes throughout his life: his wisdom, his wealth, and his writings. The most outstanding feature that marked Solomon's life more than anything else was his wisdom. In 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 29 and 30, we read it like this. It said, "And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore." And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the East Country and all the wisdom of Egypt. Then in verse 34, and it said, "And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all kings of the earth, which had heard of his wisdom." Prominent people of his time traveled great distances to hear the wisdom Solomon would evidently speak daily. The men who worked around Solomon every day were happy because they heard his wisdom every day. In 2 Chronicles 9, 7, when the Queen of Sheba went and visited Solomon, she said this. She was noticing all that was going on in his kingdom, and she said this about his men. She said, "Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom." Of course, the wisdom Solomon spoke was God-given, and the people that heard of his wisdom knew that. We live in a generation that does not care for the wisdom of God, but rather has regarded their own godless wisdom superior to the wisdom of God. The man who longs, listens, and learns God's wisdom will far excel those who hold the highest degrees available today. And in the end of it all, God's wisdom will prove itself true, and it will prevail. In 1 Corinthians 1, verses 19 through 21, we read these words, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God," now watch this, "the world by wisdom knew not God." You know how people become atheists? Through the world's wisdom. They educate them out of believing in God. You have a little child, but then they go off to the educational universities of our